Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Catholic retailers, business owners, and ministry leaders. Don't miss the Catholic Marketing Network Momentum 2019 event. Attend seminars that teach how to apply best business practices to any kind of business or ministry. Experience one-of-a-kind networking opportunities and browse the trade show exhibit hall full of Catholic resources and gifts from all over the world. Visit CatholicMarketing.com trade show page to find out how you can be a part of this event that helps Catholics build personal and professional momentum. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Gonna roll the tape now, man. Okay.
Welcome to Holy Smokes Catholic Review, your weekly dose of good cigars and the good news. This podcast is brought to you by St. John Vianney Catholic Church in Rio Rancho, New Mexico. Incensing the temple today, Father Scott Mansfield, pastor and former rock radio DJ, Tony Willimitis, the guy who knows everything, and Will Tapia, the guy who thinks he knows everything. Now, here's your host, Father Scott.
Hey, it is Holy Smokes Catholic Review. I am your host, Father Scott, and with us tonight, Father Jimmy Marshall.
Hey, good to be back.
And by the way, people write in and say, we want Father Marshall.
Well, thank you. I don't know what to say.
Well, say nothing.
Okay.
Just shut the heck up. Hey, we play golf today in 100-degree weather. 100-degree weather.
It was very hot.
It was miserable.
Yeah, well, and yeah, hard, it got a little hard at the end, too. After all the being out there for 4 hours, it starts to take a toll on you.
So I've been thinking, and maybe when I retire, I move to Phoenix, but, you know, I can't handle 100 degrees. How am I going to handle 120?
Yeah, so you're going to have two homes, one in Phoenix for the winter and one in Denver for the summer.
That's right. Evergreen.
There
I'm
you go.
Move in with the Yarboroughs. Just say, hey, I'm moving in, man.
That's right. Hey, they've got another room, too. So both of us could probably sponge off of them for a while.
Yeah, that's my intent, you know. Hey, so what's going on with you up there in your parish there in, or down there, actually, in Los Lunas?
Los Lunas? Well, we're gearing up for religious ed. People are signing up, and we're starting to... we're just doing the normal stuff that we do at a parish. What are you doing?
Nothing,
what's you doing? Anything?
Well, I'll tell you what we're doing. We're getting our parking lot repaved.
You were pulling weeds the other day.
Yeah, in fact, yesterday I was pulling weeds, and again it was like 100 degrees. I got heat stroke.
Are you having to repave your driveway already?
Parking lot. Well, it's 10 years.
Wow.
You know, yeah. And they get those big cracks in it.
Yep.
You know, because of, I don't know why, it's the fluctuation in the heat and the cold.
It's also how they prepare the foundation for it too, so
yeah, so they're gonna they're just gonna you know, tar over the top of it, I guess, is what they do. Well, they fix the cracks first, right? And then they,
right,
yeah, so whatever they do,
it's not a full-blown parking lot job.
No, just they'll re-top it and then repaint it. Yeah. All right, so that's that, and that's about all we got going on. And
real exciting.
It's real exciting there.
Lots of weddings, lots of baptisms.
Yeah, we've been doing a lot of baptisms.
Yeah,
I got a wedding coming up next week.
Lots of funerals too.
Really, not us.
Yeah, no, we're getting more and more funerals. Seems like since I've been there. So
yeah. Well, yeah. Okay, so stop killing the.
Yeah, well, no. I'll stop preaching.
All right, so let's see what else is going on. There's really nothing going on. It's like the dog days of summer, like you said earlier today. It's the dog days of summer. It's just hot, and everybody's inside, you know? Mm-hmm. I remember the time that William and I went down to Phoenix. It was 110 outside. Yeah. We were downtown. We were the only people outside. There was like one homeless guy walking around. That was it. Everybody else was inside. And this was downtown Denver in a work day, in the middle of the day.
Denver or Phoenix?
Phoenix. What did I say?
Denver.
No, Phoenix. It's 110 degrees. Did you see Alaska? 100, what was that? 90 degrees in Anchorage?
It's got to be awful, huh?
Yeah, that's terrible.
We ought to call Dale. Hey, where's my cigars?
Oh, by the way, speaking of Dale, look at this, man. I got this box. So his daughter was in town, and she brought me from him. This is the Diesel. These are cigars. The Unholy Cocktail.
Yeah, pretty good cigar too.
Yeah. And this light, they're like little torpedoes.
Yeah, they're about 4.5 by, or no, I'd say 5 by 50 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And they're chisel end.
4.5. How do you figure that out? I've always wondered.
Well, ring gauge size is it looks like about a 50.
This?
Yeah.
So what do you determine that?
Honestly, I don't know I think it's just the way they measure them in ring gauge size. So
same way you measure a ring?
I would think so, yeah.
Well, aren't you supposed to know this?
No, well, I don't really go into it that deeply. I just know what it looks like.
Yeah.
So it's about a 5-inch cigar.
Mm-hmm.
So a 5 by 50?
It's about 5.
Yeah.
5 inches by 50 is the round.
Ring gauge, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks for letting me
know. It's a good cigar, you know. Though it was the Unholy Cocktail, and there's another one that came out of that same batch. That's the original Diesel cigars, and they've kind of expanded now. They've got about 12 different varieties that are all pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you see that? By the way, you have anything that you've smoked recently?
Other than the Padron.
See, like me, man. That's all they smoke. How can you do a cigar review when you just smoke the same cigar over and over again?
Well,
but Tony, you know, when Tony's here, he reviews the same cigar over and over again.
We can talk about it. I don't know.
Yeah, and then William's always talking about the oaky taste.
Yeah.
With a hint of cinnamon.
It tastes like a cigar to me.
Right. Have you ever smoked a cigar and you can taste the cinnamon unless you're smoking those acid things, which are horrible? Okay, so if you're smoking one of those acids and they're like cherry, maybe. You can't eat, even like, then you can't taste the cherry.
It's like smoking bubble gum. It tastes terrible.
Oh, it's the worst.
I am. Now, if you talk about cigars that you can honestly tell the difference in flavor, the one that comes to mind is the Lager Privada, the 52.
Mm-hmm. Which we've reviewed before.
Number 6. There's a number 6 and a number 52. And they're excellent cigars, and they're from Nicaragua.
Mm-hmm.
And the tobacco is grown in the, they take the vegetable fields and they plow them under. And they take, you know, they harvest the vegetables, and then the next year they plant the tobacco in those fields. And it really does... The flavor is really is unique and excellent, mm-hmm. excellent cigars.
So it's the soil.
Yeah.
That does it.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Very cool, man. Okay, anything else cigar-wise?
No. Not that you haven't heard already.
It's like the worst cigar review I've ever heard.
No, every time I'm here, we say that's the worst cigar review I've ever heard.
Well, because we just get progressively worse.
Well, how many different cigars can you smoke that you actually like, you know?
Well, yeah, but there's a bunch, you know, whenever I'm at the cigar store, and like I see all these cigars that I've never smoked before. And it's like, well, I'll try one, you know, but then there's the Padron sitting there. So what do? Get the Padrons.
Yeah, we tend to be creatures of habit.
Those Unholy, though, the cocktail, those Diesels.
Yeah, they're excellent.
Man, they're good.
Yeah.
And they last forever.
Yeah, and they're not that expensive either, so that's kind of a nice bonus, too. They're pretty inexpensive.
Yeah, okay. Hey, you follow soccer much? Because I don't. But our team, okay, so the U.S. women, I guess, are like killing it, or have killed it.
They won.
Oh, so
they won the World Cup.
So they're the world champions. Okay, and then we have this little soccer team in Albuquerque called New Mexico United, which is, I think they're playing tonight in Wisconsin. No, in Minnesota. And they get huge crowds.
They keep advancing. Yeah, they're good. They're good soccer.
Yeah. So
if you like soccer.
I don't. Do you?
Neither do I, really.
But William says you got to go just for the experience. Like it's a social thing. Like, remember the time, the last time we were at the Green Bay Packer game?
Yeah.
You know, did how many people, there had to be 80, 90,000 people. How many people were there that were actually watching the game?
Not very many. They were all talking and carrying on, having their, drinking
people,
their beer and eating their.
There's a game going on behind them. They got their back to it and they're just totally having a party.
Yep.
I'm like, well, so you bought a ticket for this? You could do this out in the parking lot for free.
Well, it's a status symbol in Green Bay, right? I mean, if you have a ticket to the Green Bay Packers game, that's something special.
Yeah, I suppose. All right, so cool. So anything else happening? Man, you're kind of a boring guest, I got to tell you. I really just think you're boring guest because you have nothing to talk about.
Do you want me to leave?
No. Hey, happy birthday to Archbishop Sheehan, who turned 80 years old.
Oh, so yeah.
We had a little party for
God
him
bless
last
him.
Night. But I couldn't make the party because I was up here being sick because I got heat stroke. Pulling weeds when it's 100 degrees.
Probably
without sunscreen, without drinking water. It was horrible.
You probably got poisoned by a weed killer or something like that. You could probably call the 1-800.
I'll call Binder and Binder. I'll call Binder and Binder. And
I'd say, I got to get my $10 million.
Yeah, right.
My share of that $10 million.
Yeah, that's right. It's Roundup that has the issue, right?
Right.
Yeah. All right. Okay, so anyway, summertime's kind of, you know. Ugh.
Hey, we got a Range Cafe in Las Lunas.
Got a Range Cafe. Now, that's something to talk
about. That is something to talk about. And boy, that parking lot was packed when it opened.
That's a good place, man.
It is. Good restaurant.
And the atmosphere is killer.
Yep.
You know,
all the cows jumping out of the wall.
Is it all? Yeah, do they got it fixed up?
Yeah.
That's very clever how they do that. Yeah, it's a great place. There's one here in close to us. Then there's the one in Bernalillo, which is like the original.
Right, Range. And there's the one up on Montgomery in Wyoming.
Yeah.
Which is a good, I go there quite a bit. My mom used to go there all the time, so we'd go there and share some good times together.
Well, they got good stuff. So they have, by the way, they have the paper straws.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, what is this paper straw? And I'm thinking, well, it's going to turn, you know, soggy in 5 minutes. But no, it lasts.
It lasts about 15 minutes.
No, this straw lasted the duration. I was there for a good 45 minutes.
I think they taste kind of funny, though.
No, I don't.
They have a kind of just a paper taste to them.
See, now, I'm one of those guys, you know, and I'm not, you know, these people that are like, you know, the global warming people, right? But I do think they should ban plastic stuff. Because I'm sick of seeing plastic bags stuck. When you drive down the highway, they're either stuck to fences or to the cactus. Okay, and it's just, it's unsightly. And, you know, here in this state, you know, what? Pick up litter? What? That's what? Huh? Do what? And what is that? What? You know, so I'm sick of seeing the stuff all along the, when you're driving out into the desert, you know? So I'm all for banning the plastic bags.
I know.
Why not use paper bags? Well, you know the answer to that question. It's because the environmentalists were squawking, oh, we're cutting down too many trees. And now they're griping about the plastic. But I'm all for let's get rid of the plastic bags.
I'm with you. Plastic is destructive to the environment. But certain, you know, plastics have also been instrumental in medical science now and all kinds of other applications. So I mean, let's just be smart about it.
Mm-hmm. Like how? So, like do what? What would you suggest?
Well, like, where plastic is actually essential to the welfare of different industries and applications and like the manufacturing process and all that, but we can get rid of the plastic bags, we can get rid of the straws and all that. I mean, but I just it irritates me the way they argue against quote straws. They vote to ban straws in styrofoam containers because they're saving the planet. No, they're not. They're not saving the planet. They're just being ideologues. And let's do things and be honest about it.
Okay. Is that it?
That's my beef for the day.
That's your beef? Okay. Well, that's my beef too. So I say no plastic straws and no plastic bags.
Okay.
Let's go back to paper.
Yeah.
Okay. And let's just do that. Okay. So let's talk about the gospel, shall we? This is an abbreviated show because you know why? It's a short show today. No game show. Very short cigar review, as you could tell, because we have to be at dinner in like 30 minutes and we're going to have a good time at dinner tonight. Yep. Okay. I'm going to pull up the gospel now. Okay. All right. I'm pulling it up. You want to say something? You want to kill time? I mean, when the other guys are trying to find this,
I'm just waiting. I'm being polite.
Time and
He's pulling up the gospel. I don't know what everybody else was thinking, but I really like the second reading as well. But we'll talk about that from the letter to the Galatians. Okay. It's the end of that letter, and St. Paul really sums everything up. And when he says that his whole life is centered on Christ crucified.
Okay.
So.
All right, I'm going to read the gospel now. Okay, this is from Luke 10:1-20. Okay, ready?
Ready. I'm ready.
Okay, so at that time, the Lord appointed 72 others whom he sent ahead of him in pairs to every town and place he intended to visit. So he said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. So go on your way, and behold, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered, for the laborer deserves his payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick in it, and say to them that the kingdom of God is at hand. Whatever town you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, 'The dust of your town that clings to our feet, even that we shake off against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God is at hand. I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom on that day than for that town.'" Boy, that really applies to today as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
72, the 72 returned rejoicing and said, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us because of your name." And Jesus said, "I have observed Satan fall like lightning from the sky. Behold, I have given you the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and upon the full force of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice because the spirits are subjected to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven." There you go.
All right. That's excellent. I love the very last part of that, that we should rejoice that our names will be written in the book of life.
Uh-huh.
You know, that a lot of people, you could probably relate it, or this would be a good analogy, is that if you go, you make reservations at a hotel someplace and you arrive and they don't have your name there, that can be a disaster. And that's probably their fault. But if you go up to the pearly gates and Peter looks at you and says, "Your name's not in this reservation book," it's your fault.
Yeah, that's
right.
It's
not there. You know, that's something that we have to be prioritize. And you know, the other thing about this too, you know, that Jesus is the new Moses, and he's establishing his church, just as Moses established the structure that he set in place to. Continue the work that God had given him to do to form the people of God, the people of Israel, into a community that knew and loved God. Jesus now is doing that very thing. He's putting in place a whole new structure, but it's mirrored in the time of Moses. Aaron, St. Peter now is the new Aaron, and the 12 pillars, which represent the 12 tribes of Israel,
right,
are now represented in the apostles themselves. And the 70 or 72 who are sent out by Jesus are also mirrored in that time when Moses, the Spirit was given to Moses, is shared amongst these men who are to help him in doing the work of God. And so the priesthood is really... the image of that, or those 72 who are sent out, are meant to are sent out to help to do the work that the chief shepherd has given them to do, right?
Which is ultimately to preach the good news.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's the primary work of the church, is to save souls,
right?
Not social justice or things like that. Those are a byproduct of it. But, you know, the church itself has as its primary obligation the salvation of human beings and ensuring them or giving them a chance to have their names written in the book of life.
Right. Well, I would say that seeking, social justice is it's really kind of a vain endeavor if it's not built on, you know, one's relationship, our relationship with the Lord, you know. And, just come to think of this, that Mother Teresa of Calcutta, once there was a woman who approached her and said, this woman said to Mother Teresa, I would really love to join your religious order. And Teresa said, that's fabulous. Why is this? And the woman said, because I've always wanted to be a social worker. And Mother Teresa turned her down.
Right.
Said, no, you go fall in love with Jesus and then you come back.
Then you come back. And then your actions are ordered properly towards their end for which God intended. Mm-hmm. God doesn't need us to do social work. He wants us to. What he needs from us is a commitment, an obedient commitment to going, to doing his will, whatever that is at that moment.
Well, the way to accomplish this is by way of love. I mean, if you love somebody, then you want to naturally help them. You want to see good things happen for them.
That's right.
So if you're filled with love, that love that comes from the Lord through mm-hmm. his grace, then you will do great things, you know, helping people that are in need and all of those things. You don't have love, you have nothing. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what I have here, and that was kind of what I talked about on Sunday, was the first of all, the text, and now you wanted to mention, by the way, the second reading?
The second reading from Galatians. It's the last, it's the end of the book of Galatians.
Yeah.
And St. Paul makes a, I says something very beautiful here. He says, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mentioned to the people that I said, look, St. Paul was a bishop and a priest. He was a priest. His whole life was centered on bringing the message of the gospel, the truth, to the people. And he had the authority of Christ to do three things, to teach the truth, to govern them in the way that they in the area of morality and faith, and then to sanctify them. Those three things, and those are that's mentioned obviously in the Second Vatican Council documents, and I think it's a good reminder to the priests and bishops alike that hey, this is our job. This is what we're really supposed to do. Everything else is in relation to that. And if we're not teaching the truth, if we're not governing the people in a just and charitable way, if we're not sanctifying the people by celebrating the sacraments, offering Mass, giving time in the confessional, teaching or baptizing even though we have deacons quite often who do these things, but being available to do those things is really what's most important.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Mm-hmm. The work of sanctification, because ultimately our mission is to find heaven. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So along with that, you know, the Galatians, St. Paul wrote to the Galatians at a time when the Galatians, the Jewish Christians were attempting to, they were scandalizing the Gentile Christians, saying, oh, you know, you don't belong to Jesus, because if you're going to belong to Jesus, you have to belong, first of all, to Abraham. And if you don't belong to Abraham, then you can't belong to Jesus. And the way to belong to Abraham is by way of circumcision. So Paul intervened and said, no, that's crazy. And listen, this is where he said, you're not saved by works of the law, meaning that work of the law, circumcision, mm-hmm. okay? But by faith in Christ, okay? So later on, we learn that baptism replaces circumcision.
That's right.
Right.
So, circumcision was a prefigurement of baptism.
Exactly. And so our Lord now, he sends these 72 out to preach the gospel. At the end of his, before he ascended, what did he send them out? With the instruction, go baptize the people in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
All right. So therefore, it is those who have been baptized who continue throughout their life. And remember, salvation is something we have to work on. Can a person lose his salvation? Sure. Okay, but we have to constantly work on it. Work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Our Lord tells us that those who are saved are those who endure to the end. But those are the ones who have their names written in the book, as we hear in the gospel.
Right.
In the gospel, right?
Right. And so the baptismal character, though, is a permanent mark that remains, even though we can lose our salvation, lose that. That union with God through our own fault, that even in hell, those who were baptized, that mark or that character is still recognizable.
That's
only
right.
it's a constant reminder of their failure.
Right. And it's it's contrary to reason, and it's contrary to, I mean, what the grace God gives that we can know and love and serve him. So to go against that is, it's very grievous. We just don't grievous. It doesn't grievous. Doesn't it bug you when people say grievous? Through my fault, through my fault, through my most grievous fault. There's no such word. It's grievous. Grievous. Okay.
Grievous.
Now I feel better.
I say grievous all the time.
Do you?
No.
Do you? I say grievous. And no matter how many times I've tried, and I try to say it real loud into the microphone.
Oh, yeah. But
doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Anyway, so, okay. So, but now I want to go back to the gospel real quick, okay? Because
okay.
Jesus sends them out, first of all, as lambs among sheep, okay? Lambs are what? They're innocent. They're gentle.
Right.
They're cute. They're cuddly and all those things, right? Somebody shouted out at church, oh, they taste good. Well, that's not what I was looking for. I wasn't trying to go there, but yeah, no. And then the wolf is hungry for blood. Right? So,
well, it's a predator.
Right. So Jesus sends his children out, these people with this dictate, you know, go out and teach the gospel. And I'm sending you out into the midst of very, very bad people who don't want to hear the truth.
Right. A dangerous world.
Dangerous world. Okay. But he says to them, take no money bag, all those things, no sandals. So in other words, oh, and he says this too, don't greet anyone along the way. Now that does seem rather cold, doesn't it, if you think about it? Don't say, isn't it a terrible thing to greet people? Hey, how you doing?
Right. So he wants them to be single-minded. Don't get distracted.
Don't get distracted. And once you get to your destination, if you stop off in every pub and every household to talk to your friends, excuse me, you're not gonna arrive at. And this goes back to, what was it, last Sunday's gospel or,
that's
or
right.
2 weeks ago? Whoever right. sticks his hand to the plow and keeps looking back is
keeps
not
looking
fit.
Back. It's a
why? Why so funny? You know, because I said pub.
It's so
well, it's
funny.
It's true. You go in, it's like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna stop in and say hi. Well, 10 beers later and 3 hours later, it's like, oh well, you know. And what are you going to do? So Jesus says, remove all these obstacles. Now, does this apply to us? How does this apply to us? How does this apply to us? Okay, it does, because we have to keep our eyes fixed on what is important. That's the Lord and our relationship with him and our trek to heaven. That's why we're here. What's the point of anything if we don't have eternal life? I don't see, if there's no such thing as eternal life, there's no point of living anyway.
Yeah, you're right. That's right. Exactly.
It's a complete,
right.
Total waste of time. It's all vanity.
Any good work or anything else is of no value.
No value.
So that goes back to what I said, right? The primary obligation of the church, bishops, priests, deacons, all of us, but I'm talking about bishops and priests now. They have to focus on bringing the gospel message to the world,
especially them. But this
we
isn't, but
I should say
no. But the laity are not exempt.
No, they have their share in that.
Well, and exactly, and the laity are usually called to like the vocation to marriage.
That's right.
Okay, which is a calling from the Lord. Okay, but every married person and every priest and bishop and deacon, we all have to keep, if we're going to make it, if our names are to remain written in the book of life, we got to keep mm-hmm. our eyes fixed on the Lord and what is important, our relationship with him and our trek to heaven. And if we don't, if we take our eyes off that, what are we looking at? If we're not looking up, we're looking sideways and we're seeing all the things, all the enticements the world right. has to offer. This is what happened with Adam and Eve when they took their eyes off the Lord, even for a moment, to look at that promise. Let's think about this. The serpent in the tree has offered us this. That sounds pretty good. All right. So we start looking at all the things around us. And you can name, you know, a bunch of things. Okay. Politics. Okay. Entertainment, celebrity, sports, all of these things. And
even
I'm a sports
guy.
Work. Right? So all these things that can become a distraction that we can get so caught up and consumed in that we lose sight of what really truly is important, and that's the Lord. And so once a person gets caught up in the things of the world, then that relationship with the Lord suffers. And then, you know, guess what? Then a week or two, three, four, five, a year, 5 years, 10 years goes by, and 20 years, that person hasn't seen the inside of a church. They haven't received the sacraments, you know, and that's something. They haven't been to confession. And they're sinking. They don't even know it.
But it's in those moments, you know, and I've had a number, and I know you have too. You've encountered people who suddenly the light goes off and they say, you know what?
Yeah.
Something is desperately wrong in my life.
Well, and that's the grace of the Lord working.
That's right.
On.
Actual grace working
right.
on people. And Those people are the most inspired. Usually they're on fire. There's a guy that, I admire so much, you know, now, and, he comes to Mass. He prays. He has a notebook, and people ask him to pray, and his notebook is filled with names.
Well, was he a guy who had been away for a long time?
A long time.
Okay, but that's okay. But that makes another brings up another point that I want to make is this is why we never want to give up on people and continue to pray for their conversions.
Absolutely,
the Lord brings them back,
and they do so much good. This guy gives out so many holy cards and scapulars.
Right,
but he's always evangelizing wherever he is. He's doing the Lord's work.
But some people, sadly, get so detached from the Lord that they completely lose their way and never find their way back.
Yeah, I was thinking about that the other day. There are those who are so committed to sin that's all they want, right. And they don't care.
Right. And I mentioned, by the way, I mentioned politics just now, right? So
right.
How many people do you know, seriously, their political party is their religion, has become their religion?
Right.
Right? And it doesn't matter Democrat or Republican.
That's right. So that's where they get their moral foundation is not from the law of God, but from man-made laws, which goes back to what St. Paul says, mm-hmm. This won't save you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Go back to these things. They think that somebody promises them all kinds of goodies and nice things, and they think, well, if I vote for them, then I'll have a nice, comfortable life.
But the
truth is that's not the case.
Do you remember the lady when this was in Obama was running for president? Oh, actually, when he won, it was that lady who was on, and she was all excited, you know. That means I'll never have to pay a mortgage, and I'll get all this stuff for free. My insurance will be free, and
yeah, I'm going to get my Obama phone.
Yeah, and I was sitting.
That never happened, did it?
No, it didn't happen.
It's all a make believe world.
Can't happen, man. Only the Lord can save us and get us or take us safely to his glory in heaven. All this stuff in the world, it comes and goes. Political parties come and go. Superpowers come and go. Sports heroes come and go. Entertainers come and go. Right? So,
yep.
Here today, gone tomorrow. All right, man. So, anything else you want to add to this?
Nope. I just want to say pray every day for priests and bishops, and pray that young men and women will respond to God's call, because remember that the initiative is on God's part. He's the one who calls, and he's the one who initiates anything good in us. It's up to us to respond in obedience. Mm-hmm. So
that's right. So God gives us the grace. For our part, we have to respond to that grace, say yes to it. Okay. Of course, we have free will. We can say no, but saying yes, then we respond in a positive way to his grace, and then we're able to accomplish great things. Okay.
That's right.
All right, man. So don't forget, we've got that other podcast. Boy, this was only 32 minutes and 30 seconds. That's amazing. So we cut it short because we have to eat dinner. Okay. So going over to the Bolus's house.
Yeah, buddy.
Always a good time over there, man.
All right. I like it.
All right, so did you see my hat, my Air Force brat hat?
I did see that. That was a cool hat.
Pretty cool
hat. I was going to ask you about that, but you were in bad humor, so I didn't say anything.
Well, what do you mean I was bad humor? Was that on the golf course by any chance? Yeah, so I got this from Rita Armijo, gave this to me, her and her husband. So it's an Air Force hat, but then they had stenciled below it, brat, because I'm an Air Force brat.
Yeah.
You know?
Instead of an Army brat, you're an Air Force brat.
Air Force brat. Okay, sjvnm.org is the place to go. If you'd like to donate to our church, our future building of the church, go down to where it says donate and donate to building fund. Much appreciated. Okay? And you say, well, I don't belong to that parish. So what? Who cares? Come on. I've given to people that I don't, you know. Right?
Yeah. If you're at San Clemente, you'll know how to go to the website there, sanclemente.org or sanclementeparish.org, sorry. And there's a place there too, a link if you want to contribute. right. to the building fund as well.
Okay, so Catholic Beef too. We've got a brand new series starting on Sola Fide.
Oh, that's a great topic.
Sola Fide, you know, by faith alone. Oh, so we're just tearing that thing apart.
Oh yeah, man, that's a great topic, and people need to hear it, right?
Yeah, that's right. By faith alone. That's the beside. Paul never said that.
No, but that's what Martin Luther had him saying.
Yeah,
he put those words in his mouth.
Well, he did. He added it to the scripture. Didn't he?
Yeah,
just wrote it in. Is his translation.
Right.
Okay, so we've got that going on. So anyway, keep having a great summer and stay out of the heat, man. It's too hot. Don't play golf. Everybody stay. If you're a golfer, stay in, man. Stay in. You know, just go inside. Don't play golf until October. That way we'll have the golf course all
to ourselves. I was going to say.
Why burn up, you know?
That's right. Leave it to Father Scott and myself.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.